Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. After hearing today's reading from Malachi, someone might say it's totally irrelevant for us today for at least two reasons. Because God, through the prophet, calls the people to repent of offering weak and sick animals, which we don't sacrifice. And also, a person might say it's not relevant because it offers instructions specifically for priests, a title we don't usually give to our pastors, and besides, most of the people here gathered are not in the position of spiritual leadership. So someone might say, let's get on with something else. Why listen to this? Why listen here? But we will see that it is, in fact, relevant, because our Lord is calling people to repent of faithless worship. And we also are sinners like the people in Malachi's day. And we are tempted to be faithless in our worship as well. And we need to repent where we have been faithless and call on our Lord for his mercy and forgiveness for the sake of Jesus. But let's take up each of these objections and see how here in this text we do hear a call to repent of sin. First, the text addresses priests and people for their impure sacrifices. God says in the text here that polluted food is being offered upon his altar. And what is that? Well, people are offering blind, lame, or sick animals as their sacrifice to God. They're not offering the best of what God has given to them. They're offering the leftovers, the things that they wouldn't want. And in response to this, someone in the 21st century might say, well, we don't do that. After all, Jesus is the once-for-all perfect sacrifice. He's the one that offered himself upon the cross to pay for our sins. So we don't need to worry about these instructions about sacrifice. We don't need to worry about the ins and outs of which animals we need to offer. But we are still to respond with thanks and praise to God for the once and for all perfect sacrifice of Christ. We are to respond to what God has given to us with thanks, praise, with service and obedience for all that he has given to us. Open in your hymnals to page 322. There you'll find the small catechism, a portion of it, here on page 322. There, on that page, 322, you'll find that we have the first article of the Creed, along with its meaning. That very brief article, only a few words, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, is followed by a very lengthy meaning. From the confession of God as the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, we go on to say a great deal about what God has done for us. That he has, in the first paragraph of that meaning, given us our bodies, our eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason and our strength. In the second paragraph, we hear that he then provides for that body. He hasn't left us after he created us, but continues to provide for his people, to give us food and clothing, all that we need to sustain this body and life. And then in the third paragraph, we see that he also defends the life that he has given us. And that he does all of this because of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. And we could go on to the meaning in the second article and hear what he has done for us in Jesus to redeem the bodies that he has made, and to give us new life, and to sustain that new life we could hear about in the third article. But here in this meaning of the first article, we also hear something about then our response. Most of the meaning is all about what God has done. But then at the very end, there's a very brief section on what our response is. And that is, it says, on the end of that third paragraph of the meaning, for all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is a good picture of what worship is, of what worship should be. Because Malachi here in chapter 1 and 2 is addressing faithless worship. But faithful worship recognizes that God is the giver of all that we have. The giver of our bodies, our souls, all that we have is a gift from God, and it is a gift of pure grace and mercy, not because of what we've done. And then there is our response, which is very simple: thanking, praising, serving, and obeying our Lord. But the focus of it all is on what our God has done to reach down to us, to make us, to redeem us in Jesus Christ, and to sustain that life by the power of His Holy Spirit. And we respond in thanks, praise, serve, and obey, in obedience. But the prophet Malachi here gives us instruction on what we should or should not do in that response, in our thanking, praising, serving, and obeying our Lord. That the people at this time, we see, are responding to God's good gifts by saying, well, I'll give my leftovers. They are not responding in faith that says, God has given me all that I have, and I respond in thanks by giving back to Him of what He has given me. And not just giving back any old thing of what He's given, but giving back to Him the best of what He has given. Trusting that even when I give the best, even when the farmer gives the first fruits of his crop, he trusts that the Lord will provide for him the rest of it. That when we give the first fruits of our income, that our Lord will provide for us the rest. And we'll talk more about that, about offerings, on the last Wednesday of Advent, because the prophet Malachi gets into more detail on that topic. But this isn't the only area that we can give God our leftovers. We can also give God our leftover time, where we say, well, I have all of these other things to do with my life. And if it so happens that there is some extra time left over for God, then so be it. Then we'll let that be, and then I'll be in church. I'll hear God's word. I'll read it and study it. I'll pray, if there's time. Rather than saying, God must be first. I order my time, my days around what He gives. I order my days, my time around His word. I set aside time to meditate on it and to reflect upon it, to call upon His name, to pray for myself and my family and my friends and my church and my community. It is easy to give God our leftover time, and our Lord calls us to repent of this and to live instead in faith, that trusts that there will be time to do all that we need to do. But we need to first set aside time for the thing that is the greatest need, that it should be our greatest priority, to hear and receive our Lord and His gifts, because He gives us all good things. Because what He gives is the best thing for us. We can also give God plenty of other leftovers in many ways. Rather than setting aside our time and our energy for His word and for His gifts. But this isn't the only issue here that is identified by the prophet Malachi. We see in chapter 1, verse 13 in our reading for tonight, that the text says, but you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it. Now, what does that mean? It seems that the people saw even what they were doing as a weariness, as a chore, as a burden upon them. That they would really rather be doing something else. And we can have this attitude ourselves in our worship. Our minds can wander to other things, to what we're going to have for the next meal, what else we need to do, what's on our to-do list, some other topic, some other thing. And the devil wants this. He doesn't want our minds to be set upon the Word of God. He wants us to turn aside from it. And if we fall into that, it is easy for us to say, like the people of Malachi's day, oh, this is such a chore, when is it going to be over? When will we get to the end finally? Rather than stopping to receive this as a good gift that our Lord gives, to feed us, to nourish us, to sustain us, because He loves us. As we heard at the beginning of the book of Malachi last week, that our Lord gives us all of this because He loves His people and He has made us His own and He cares for us and provides His word for us. And we can easily still in our day become bored with our worship. Especially sometimes the accusation is made that it's repetitive. It's the same thing over and over again in our liturgy. And this is sad because the liturgy is drawn from the Word of God, sometimes verbatim, many times verbatim from the Word of God. And there's always more to glean from the Word of God. There's always more to reflect on and to meditate on. Always more to see there about our Lord's mercies and about what He gives to us in Jesus Christ. And so we can never be done learning and meditating on the Word of God. There will always be more to see and to learn and to understand. But there is another objection to this text. First, we said that the objection was that people say, well, it's simply irrelevant because it's all about sacrificing animals and so on. But as we've already seen, it calls us to repentance for faithless worship that does not trust that our Lord's gifts are good and wants to give God leftovers. Instead, faith says our Lord gives us good things, and we respond in thanks and praise, giving Him first of our time, of the time that He has given us. But the second objection to this text, perhaps, could be that this is irrelevant because it talks here about priests who are, in those days, offering sacrifices for sins. They offered animals, in part, for the sins of the people and for their own sins. Now we know that since Christ has come, He is our great high priest. He has offered Himself on the altar of the cross for our sins. And so, we can say, we have another priest who has given Himself for us. And all of this about priests is in the past. But if you look at our epistle reading for today, from 1 Peter, you see that here in the New Testament, we, God's people, are called, in verse 9, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are people who are all priests. There is a priesthood of all believers. Believers who offer their prayers and their petitions to God through Jesus Christ, offer prayers on behalf of others, priests who also share the Word of God with others, calling others to believe in Jesus Christ according to their vocations, parents in their home teaching their children the Word of God, friends telling friends about Christ, telling them what our Word says in both His law and His gospel. Yes, God's people today still are priests, and we need to hear this word as well that we hear in the second half of our reading from Malachi today. The priests in those days, it seems, were not guarding knowledge, were not paying attention to the Word of God. And it is easy for us to not pay attention to what God's Word says, to ignore it, to consider it, to be of lesser importance to something else. And this is a lack of faith. This is idolatry that says there's something else that is better to hear or to read or to study, something more important to think about than what our Lord gives. But our Lord calls us to hear His word and to receive it with gladness and to share it with others according to our calling in life. and to call upon our Lord in prayer for our church and our family and our community. But someone might say, isn't this really addressed to the religious leaders and their responsibilities on what they must do and how they must guard instruction? And certainly that is the case. There is certainly a special call to those who are pastors to be faithful in their callings because they bear a great responsibility to publicly proclaim the Word of God. But this also has instruction for everyone, pastors and people alike, because we are all hearers of the Word. I am as well. Hearers who have pastors, and we should expect from our pastors what is said here in Malachi, that they guard knowledge, that they know what the Word of God says, and they teach it, they study it, they proclaim it, that true instruction is found in their mouths, that no wrong is found on their lips, that they walk with the Lord in peace and uprightness. This is what we should expect from them. But at the same time, there is still an expectation here for the hearers of the Word of God. Notice here in our text, it says that the people who hear the Word should seek instruction from His mouth, because this pastor, the priest, is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And so there is still instruction for both pastor and people here. That the pastor rightly proclaim the Word, that the people desire and seek instruction from his mouth. That is what they should expect, and they should hold the pastor to account according to the Word of God, and say that that is what is the authority above the pastor, above every preacher and proclaimer of the Word of God, is the Word of the Lord. That the pastor is a servant of the Word to proclaim what our Lord has given. So this text does speak to us today. It calls us to faith, to not give the Lord our leftovers, not to give half-hearted worship, not to be bored with the Word of God, but rather to also speak God's Word faithfully according to our calling, to require this of our pastors. It calls us to faith. To trust that our Lord's Word is good for us. And we know as we see this, as we always do when we hear the law of God, and we hear a call to repentance, we know that we are sinners and we need our Lord's forgiveness. And as I have pointed out already from this text, we know that there is someone else who has been our great high priest, who has offered himself on our behalf, where true instruction was found in his mouth at all times, that he offered himself as the perfect sacrifice on the cross, the unblemished sacrifice, the best, that our Lord gave his only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sins and be our Savior, so that we might be his children, that we might be taken care of, that we might have eternal life with him forever. Our Lord has done this for us out of his great love for us. And we give thanks that we as sinners can come reading this text, and we can say at the end of it, after this law and this call to repentance, we can say, O Lord, have mercy on us. And we can give thanks that our Lord does have mercy on us for the sake of Jesus. The perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering to God, and the perfect great high priest, who now, as the perfect sacrifice, sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, his people, whom he loves. Thanks be to God for his mercy. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.